I'd like to begin this morning by borrowing from an analogy which has really taken place this past week, and that is the admission of many new students to the University of Auburn. And it's been a few years now since my daughter went through that process of applying and all of that, but I do recall, you know, a lot of kind of, you know, documentation that was necessary, you know, the assurance that certain prerequisites had been met, that she was apt to attend Auburn. I recall letters of reference being required and such and so on, you know, a record of her academic career and all that. Let's not forget the ability of mom and dad to pay and things of that nature. All of this then comes to the moment of receiving the letter of acceptance. And so as we, you know, kind of begin, I want to illustrate that this is rather a high bar for acceptance to the University of Auburn. And my impression is that the bar is raised kind of, you know, just kind of nudged up just a bit as time goes by. Your scores need to be just a little bit higher to be admitted to the university, and so it goes. I'm saying here really that this is normal. I mean, you and I accept this, right? That this is the way it is, that there are qualifications and prerequisites that are met for this and that and everything. The job that you apply for, the employer wants to see and to know, are you able to do this job? Are you certified to do this work? And so on. If one applies to play on a team or be in some activity, again, the bar is there. Do you have basic skills? Are you a team player? You know, can we do this? Are you dedicated? Are you committed to this? You gonna show up for practice or not? You know, all of those kind of things. Oh yes, and the ability to pay is all there. This is all normal. And so as Jesus is walking into Jerusalem, someone in the crowd asks him kind of the normal question. Are only a few going to be admitted to the kingdom? Essentially, what kind of bar is this? Well, what kind of standard? What kind of rules apply to being admitted to the kingdom of God? Well, it's curious because Jesus does not answer the question. No mention of numbers at all in terms of the kingdom. He kind of does a ricochet kind of thing, a sideways move away from addressing the issue of numbers. But what he does speak to is essentially opportunity. And the generous welcome that the kingdom extends. And then the admonition, be sure to enter through the narrow gate. Well, we've already established the narrow gate is just normal. It's a part of life. It applies all over the place. But for some reason, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to the kingdom of God, God himself is judged differently. Yes, the church lives under this aspersion. Only a few? What about the rest of humanity? What about all those who have no opportunity to hear the name of Jesus? What about those who cannot read the text? Or have no exposure or experience to the word and to the loving nature of this God? And a whole lot of that, frankly, I can't answer those questions as much as Jesus never answered the question of how many. But it does seem surely this way, that we are accountable for the opportunity that we have to meet and to know God. For some, that will be quite direct. You know, Timothy is admonished this way by Paul. You know, the scriptures that you have learned and heard from your infancy, for your mother taught you them, kind of moment. A different level of responsibility. For me as pastor, schooled, you know, this is my trade, so to speak, a different level of responsibility. But the opportunities are all around. If nothing less than simply the opportunity to be in and exposed to the glories and the wonder of creation, all of which so much is obscured from us who are in, you know, the city and the academic, you know, kind of thing. So much hidden in terms of just the beauty and the wonder of God. So much so that many of us consider that's vacation. You know, that's the escape to simplicity and to the freedom simply to be in and to absorb all of that. Some say that's where I meet God. Nonetheless, the opportunities are laid out for us, and we are clearly accountable for them. The door had been opened by the Master. Many chose not to enter in. The door is closed. And look at their response. Consider it. We know you. We heard you in our streets. We ate and drank with you. And the owner says, away from me. I don't know you, you evil, you wicked people. Reminding us this connection, this opportunity that we have to be with and in the presence of God is no casual matter at all. Not at all. It is of the severest profundity that we are invited into the presence of God. Of the greatest importance. Truly, the greatest importance. All caps kind of thing. That we experience the essential, you know, foundational, you know, principal thing of God is the center and focus of our lives. And the moment that we have to come here, you know, together and to lift our voices and sing his praise, this is the essence of what we're made for. And all the rest, that, dear friends, is what's the stuff you take that isn't the primary thing for your core curriculum? What is that? Electives. Thank you. That's the electives. But living for God, worshiping God, being steeped in his word and his way and his character, this fellowship with him, which is really saying, Lord, I depend upon you for everything. There's nothing in which I am about there doing this on my own. This is my time, Lord. This is your time. No, none of that. It all belongs to him. This is my money. That's your money. No, it all belongs to him. These are my resources. These are yours. No, it all belongs to him. Our bodies, our very lives, the entire encompassing of our reality. It all belongs to Jesus. And that is the narrow door. That's the door that has been secured for us by the blood of our Savior. For us to receive, to mark us distinct and to say, this inheritance is unique. This kingdom existence is particular. Do not be ashamed of that distinction. Do not shirk or step back from that moment in which the Word of God disciplines, seeks to shape and structure our hearts and our minds, and it is completely different from the world. Do not be embarrassed by that. That is the moment of God's loving affirmation of you. And we have these times, these experiences in life when, you know, those whom we love dearly come to us with a word or a message that we really, really do not want to hear. They may hold up a little mirror to say, here is the picture of your words, how they come out, and how they impact, how they stab, how they harm. Here's a little mirror to the things that you refuse to do and the message that they give. Here's a mirror to the things that you choose to do and whom they are for, yourself or God. And all of this discipline seems so distasteful at the moment. But if we learn to interpret it, we say, oh, but these are the hands and the words of my loving shepherd. These are the hands of God that are pierced for me. Clearly, as God disciplines and straightens, structures my life, I can, I should, indeed, I want to trust that message, don't we? And so students come to Auburn, right? Asking to be invited to their place, their seat in the room. And what transpires is that all fun and easy going. No. You will probably get tests of 40 or so as your score, and perhaps there realize, oh my goodness, you know. For some who had never gotten less than an A, they're like, ah, I'm dead. But the message is there to say, look, there is so much more to be learning, to be gleaning, and the invitation is there to rise beyond the breaking and to trust the message. So the beauty of all of this is simply that the inheritance is ours because of God's will for us in Christ. Because at a font, in a place like this, perhaps beyond our will and our comprehension, the Almighty, the sovereign God who rules over all things, brought our little bodies, or perhaps our childhood bodies, or maybe perhaps our adult body to the font. And here, water and word were poured over us, and our lives are brought into the kingdom. And we are invited to journey on then in this gift and this faith, and to grow in knowledge and to enlarge our hearts in the bond to our Savior, who has embraced us, held us firm and tight beyond all of our squirming and wiggling to get away. God Himself pursues us in life, chases after us, seeks us out to restore and to hold. Do not make light of God's discipline, you know, brushing it aside. Well, that's not important. Do not be dispirited by being brought to your proper place. I'd like to close. Paul, returning student for at least 3 years now, informed me this morning, is it three or four? Fourth year. See, that 3 years past, fourth year coming, that he completed this summer his officer training course and graduated. All right? And I'm pretty sure, Paul, that the things that we're talking about have all applied to your experience this summer and times past. Yeah, he's nodding his head, just so you know. Okay? And I'm just saying, this is the way it is. The gate to the kingdom of God is indeed narrow, not broad, not all-inclusive, but narrow. And yet, the opportunity will be, people will be gathered from north, from south, from east, from west. That is, the opportunity is expansive, is generous. The opportunity is inclusive. The responsibility is simply with us. Receive. Receive the gift of God. Salvation through faith in Christ. Okay.